what's going on in the world today. And we can see it if only we will look. And it really, Paul makes, you guys got lawyers here. You guys, you know, lawyers make arguments and, you know, for and against things. And but the Apostle Paul, what a mind that God gave him and penned these words and put it in such a logical argument as to why the wrath of God is coming. Coming to a theater near you. God's wrath is coming, folks. And we need to be prepared for that. Don't bury your head in the sand. You have the scriptures. The Bible is trying to warn us. And even more so, the Bible says, as we see the day approaching, we need to encourage one another. One way we encourage one another is with the scriptures, so that nothing takes us by surprise. Friend, I don't know about you. I'm not trying to change the world. I'm not. I got a blue box in Sudbury. I throw things in it. I try and do my part to take care of the environment. But it's not my major concern, nor should it be yours. God's into people. God wants you to be involved in people's lives. That's His will for you. People that are saved, that know Jesus Christ, and people that are not, God wants you to be involved. If you wonder what your ministry is with people and not things. And it's even more so as we see the day coming. We ought not to be ignorant of these things. Do you remember, now you got to be probably my age, so all you young people, you can check out for a second because you won't remember this. What was the Uncola? Somebody say it. Seven up. You old folks, you. That was a marketing strategy of a soft drink company to separate itself from Coke and Pepsi. So they took 7-Up in the 70s, and they made it famous with all these commercials calling it the Uncola. Now, I don't know if you were aware this morning in Romans chapter 1, when we looked at this passage, there was a lot of uns there. Did you notice that? There are 7 that are mentioned there. 1 twice. Uns. Circle it. Because it's wonderful, because it tells us what is happening. And they are all unlike, these uns are all unlike God. It's the opposite of God. And so we see it. It's a downward trend that happens in human behavior. And here's what it says. We're going to look at all 7. This morning, but I just want to give you sort of the Coles note now. Young people, do you know what Coles notes are? Do you? Probably not. You're on the internet, and you get stuff. You Google it. Well, before Google, we Coled it. We got Coles notes. I got through high school on Coles notes, right? You take history, you ran to the store, you got a Coles notes on the course. And it gave you sort of a synopsis. Well, I'm going to give you the synopsis of what happens. And it may even have happened to you. The downward trend of mankind. One, suppression. Suppression. There isn't anybody that's ever been born. Listen to what I'm going to say. This is in the scriptures. There isn't anybody that doesn't know there is a God. And there's only one God, and he's the creator God. That has been put into your heart the moment you're born. So when you see someone that's an atheist or an unbeliever, someone that says that Jesus Christ didn't exist and there is no God or there's many gods, friend, I don't care if you were born in Timmins, like me, or born in Africa, or born in India. Man is without excuse. So says the Bible. Why? Because in your heart, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, God put eternity there. And he put in a GPS, and he built it in, and it says, there is a God, there is a God, there is a God. You look at the stars, you look at the sky, you look at the moon, you look at the sun, you look at nature, and 24 hours a day, it says, I'm God, I'm God, you're not. I'm God, I'm God, you're not. I'm God. I'm God, and I'm God, and there's only one. The Bible clearly states in Romans chapter 1, if you don't believe that, you've suppressed it. You've said, turn off the GPS. I often turn off the GPS. My wife says, because it's a woman's voice. If it was a man's voice, you would listen. Lausanne. But oftentimes, I've turned it off. I know where I'm going. I was on my way to Buffalo a few years ago, and I get off that bridge there. I think I took the Lewiston Bridge or whatever. I get off, and the GPS saying, turn right, turn right, turn right, turn right. Shut up. I know where I'm going. I know how to get to the Buffalo Airport. I've been there many a time. An hour later, I'm driving around downtown Buffalo. I turn the GPS. Folks, listen to me. If someone that you know does not believe in God, the Creator God, his name's not Allah. It's not. His name's not Allah. In their heart, they suppressed it. They suppressed it. They said no to God. And that's found right there. Suppression. And then secondly, they don't glorify God. They're not thankful. You know, folks, I don't know. Like, being a parent, you will identify with this. What do we want from children? Obedience, right? And for Jace to stop laughing, right? And what do we want, though, really? That they're grateful, right? You know what God can't stand? God can't stand. When you think you've been baptized in prune juice, miserable, ungrateful, wah, wah, wah. God doesn't like that. Now, we all got problems, and I don't mean to minimize this, but when you're unthankful for what you have, you're playing in to the world's standards. We need to check ourselves on that. It's part of the downward trend of men. Here they are. They suppress the truth. And secondly, they become ungrateful for what God has done. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. In my field, you are literally a quarter of an inch away from something breaking in your blood you wouldn't even see it under a microscope. And if it gets lodged in the wrong place, you're a goner. And we don't even think about that. We don't give God thanks for the fact that we have the ability, even today, to get here and to breathe and to eat. And when you don't give thanks and you don't glorify God and you suppress the truth, you become futile in your thinking. Your thinking changes. It's called depravity. Depraved. You know what it means? Crooked. You can't even think straight anymore. That's what happens. And you know what? You see it. You see it, don't you? In society today, people can't even think straight. And professing to be wise, they become fools. Fools. They'll believe anything except what God tells them. Do you know people like that? I do. And then God steps in. You want to be a fool? You want to be away from me? You want to be unthankful? You want to have your crazy thinking that's away from God? God will step in. He steps in society, and we see it today. God has said, okay, you want to be a fool? I give you up. Do what you want. Do what you want. And then, you know what happens next? Not only is man going to do what they want, it says in the scriptures that they will invent ways to sin. Here's man, created in the image of God. Folks, not evolution. It's devolution. It's downward. We're not getting better, folks. Oh, a lot of things are better. A lot of things are better. I understand that. Man left to his devices is great. They can invent. They can do a lot of things. I understand that. But mankind is going this way, folks. And because of it, listen, because of it, God's wrath is coming. There's a day coming. And so today what I want to do, and we'll go through these pretty quickly, we want to talk about those seven uns. Seven uns. The first one is ungodliness. Anything but God. Ungodliness. It's characterized, isn't it, today in our society? We'll worship anyone but God. Folks, listen, if you're sitting here this morning, you are a worshiper. You are a worshiper. God made you to worship. He did not make animals to worship. They don't worship. But you do. And if you do not worship God, you will find something or someone to worship. It's built into your heart to worship. But ungodliness occurs. And then the second one is 18 and 29. It says unrighteousness. You see, folks, If you don't have God in your life, making a difference in your life, making a change in your life, there's a vacuum. You're going to fill it. You're going to fill it with unrighteousness and false gods. And then we see every type of sin. And thirdly, the third un is you become undiscerning. Undiscerning. You refuse to understand. That's what happens to the world. They refuse to understand. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith we understand how the worlds were framed by the word of God. I want to tell you about the first sermon I ever heard as a Christian. I got saved in Ralph Carr's basement on October the 14th in 1982. And Ralph and Diane were there, and Rosie was there. Rosie didn't know what happened to me. She didn't. She really didn't understand it at the time. I walked out of Ralph's house. I'll never forget it because I was, you know, life didn't change. It changed a lot, but I was still doing things, right? I had a hockey game, right? And I went to the arena, and as I was skating around in the warm-up before the game, I grabbed John Evans. Some of you will remember who that is, who's a judge now. And I said, John, I got saved. I remember we both wear face masks, you know, the old screen masks there. And I had my face up against, I said, I'm saved. You're saved? I said, yeah, I'm saved. Saved from what? But he understood. He understood that there was something different. I said, I want to talk to you after the game. So I went to his house after the game, and I told him what happened to me in Ralph Carr's basement, that I got saved, and I'd been thinking about it for a long time, and I'd been reading the Bible. Nobody knew it, but I was doing it. I was a secret disciple. And then I went to church the first time I ever went into it. A Protestant church in my life, and I mean that. I thought the lightning bolts were going to come down, raining down in me. I mean it. And I sat there, and I'll never forget, Ralph's dad was there. He gave me a Bible, and he gave me a hymn book at the back of the chapel. I went and sat in the front. I coaxed Rosie into coming with me. I said, look it, because we never went to church. I said, Rosie, I want you to come to church with me this morning. Ah, come on, what am I going to do that for? I said, no, please, and I'll bring you out for lunch after. That did it. Four kids, my wife, lunch, that did it. But I'll never forget, because Chester Donaldson opened up the Word of God. And it was for me. And he opened up, he said, turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. Now, I knew where Genesis, because I know what Genesis means. The beginning. He said, turn to Genesis 1. I'm going to my head. Good, you're going to preach the whole Bible today. My wife's going, oh, no, he's going to go through the whole Bible. Anyway, you know what he did? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That was it. He spent the next 35 minutes on just that verse, and it was just for Tony Martin. Because here I was wrestling for years with evolution and everything I'd learned away at school and learned in my head that I was a product of nothing plus nobody equals everything. That's science. Nothing plus nobody equals everything. I believe that hook, line, and sinker. I mean it. But he preached on that, and I remember it was a turning point for me. Obviously, I got saved, but the turning point for me was, you know what? If it's in the Word of God, I believe it, then that's it. I've never, ever, ever doubted God's ability to speak the world into existence. I tell you, I remember going to Timmins High in grade 13 when there was a grade 13. And that's old. But I remember the science teacher invited me to come and to give one, I think there were 90-minute classes, one lecture on creation. The other 300 days were all on evolution. And that's what they taught in biology in grade 13. I was invited to come, and I'll never forget it. There was a young lady, she's a medical doctor today. She said, Dr. Martin, can I ask you a question? I said, you go right ahead. After we were finished, I gave a little dissertation, and I was a question and answer. She said, can I ask you something? Do you really believe that God created the heavens and the earth in six literal 24-hour days? I can still see her standing up and asking me that question with disdain in her face. And I said, well, here's what I believe. I believe exactly what you just said, but I have a question for God. What took him so long? You see, for me, my God can do anything. You see, for me, God spoke the world into existence, and God knows you, and God knows your DNA, and God knows everything about you, and God knows you can't hide from him. And he is a powerful God. I have no doubt in my mind. I've seen it in my own life. Folks, it was a bigger miracle, in my opinion, to save Tony Martin than it was to part the Red Sea. A guy who hated God. I hated God. A guy, up till the day I got saved, every time I used Jesus Christ, it was always a swear word. I couldn't help myself. It was my vocabulary. Jesus this and Jesus that. And I couldn't help. Curse the very God that saved my soul. I tell you, folks, the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is coming. Because people are undiscerning. They can't see it. They don't want to see it. The Bible says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. You know what, folks? It doesn't mean that necessarily that you believe there is no God. It's just you don't want God to be your judge. That's what drives people the craziest. If you notice in our society today, they are so accepting of the Muslims. Have you noticed that? Hate Christians. This government in Ontario hate Christians. Love Muslims. Why? You ever thought about that? Why? Because they want to be judged. The Christian God is a judging God. What you do is important. How you behave is important to him. And people don't like that. They want to do what they want to do. They don't want God in their lives, so they invent craziness. They become undiscerning. The Bible says that there are, if you ever want to do this, you can, I've taken the book of Proverbs, and the way I love to study it is I go, fool, wise. Fool, wise. All 31 chapters. Is it foolish or is that wise? It's a beautiful book, isn't it? But if you just divide the page, and you know, I think I got down to about 40 things that are wise and about 110 things that are stupid in the book of Proverbs. But when you become undiscerning, you become a fool and you don't even realize it. The Bible has a lot to say about being a fool in the scriptures. Undiscerning. They refuse to think the way God wants them to think. Untrustworthy. Now, isn't that characteristic of our society today? Untrustworthy. I'll tell you where people are untrustworthy the most. In their marriage vows.
Well, you know what? I'm not happy. I remind people in Christian counseling that oftentimes I'm talking to people that I perform the ceremony for. And people walk out of their vows. They walk away. Because you're not turning my crank anymore. You know how many times I've heard that?
People are unloving. They are untrustworthy. And I see it there. Untrustworthy. Your word don't mean nothing no more. How often have we seen that? Isn't it shocking, Christian, that Christian marriages fall apart? It ought not to be. It ought not to be. But sad to say that we're not a whole lot better than the world out there. Untrustworthy. Can't count on it anymore. Unloving. You see, the world has replaced love for lust. The world has replaced love for lust. That's what you see. Isn't that true? We see it today, right? I mean, the world is unloving. The Bible says that that's going to be characteristic of the last days. People will be great lovers, 2 Timothy, great lovers of pleasure, great lovers of treasure, and great lovers of anything but God. Doesn't that characterize the world today? You know what? I was in Florida a couple of weeks ago. I paid for this stand, by the way. And Rosie and I were walking in Hollywood, Florida. There's a boardwalk there. It's 2 miles long. Beautiful. Right on the ocean. And we were walking and enjoying the day. And Rosie and I love little kids. We love babies. You? I love babies. And we're walking on the boardwalk, and there's a carriage there. And we run. Let's go look at that baby. And we get there, we turn this way, and we, it's a dog. It's not a baby. It's a dog. People love themselves. Well, it's easy having a dog. Why? It's easy to love a dog. They don't argue with you. Right? They don't. Dogs don't argue. Dogs don't. You don't have. And people today, they're married. I tell you, I saw it. I saw it in Florida. I'm not kidding you. I tell my grandchildren, listen, I want you to be in the pet industry. I'm a future guy. I look forward. And I, you know, people, they're not going to invest money. Even, look, I'm in the healthcare industry. I do all right. People are still want to spend money. Hallelujah. You know, on their health. I like that. It's good. Keep it up. Okay. And you know, it's good. But you know what? Today, people, they'll spend any amount of money on their pets. And so I tell my grandchildren, like, get, well, you don't have to necessarily be a veterinarian. Here's a new one. I saw it in Florida, honest to God. I'm telling you the truth. Rosie and I are driving down 95. I it's crazy. And on the sign on the highway, I'm not kidding you. Pay attention. 1-800 pet psychologist. I said, I want to be a pet psychologist. Skype me in. Put your pet in front of that screen. I know how to do it. When he goes, woof, he hates your guts. Now, but think of the stupidity. Where have we gone? Folks, listen to me. Listen, please. Listen, I'll close with this. We live in a world where the wrath of God is going to come. And if you got a pet, I didn't say throw it out. But that's not your ministry. God's into people. And when is the last time? Now, I got some skin in the game as I tell you this story in closing. If you want to know how evil the world is, I want you to think about abortion just for 1 minute as I close. the greatest disgrace of our society, folks, is abortion. And when honestly, Christian, think about this for a minute. When honestly, and I'll just show you maybe where your heart's at, was the last time you lost any sleep over that? That 50 million babies have been aborted since Roe versus Wade. I had one of my patients tell me the other day, Dr. Martin, I never want kids. And she said, I aborted. I had an abortion. And if I ever get pregnant, I'm going to have another one. I didn't say anything to her because I just met her. But folks, listen, can I tell you about my wife? Rosie's mom was 15 years old, living in the streets of Toronto in 1951. Rosie's mom, my wife, the mother of four kids, 11 grandchildren, the greatest human being that I have ever met, I married her. Her mother was 15, living on the streets in Toronto. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If abortion had been available in 1951, do you think my wife would have ever lived on this planet? When's the last time that ever bothered you? People snuffed out. Do you think we're not going to be judged by God, folks? I'm going to ask you a question. You might think, oh, you know what? We're not that bad. We're pretty good. The vengeance of God is coming to this planet. And I'll tell you, North America is going to have a lot to answer for. But you see Romans 1? The Bible says, written thousands of years ago, that the world would be just like that. Unloving. Untrustworthy. It goes on to say unforgiving. You know what, folks? I'll tell you what destroys chapels. I'll tell you what destroys homes. Unforgiveness. And my favorite verse in the scriptures is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How many people are in this room here today? In your mind's eye, are unforgiving. Oh, well, Tony, you have no idea what that person did to me. Tony, you don't know what happened. I tell you, Christian, listen. You cannot worship God and be blessed by God if you have unforgiveness in your heart. And I tell you, it's happening here. There are people here who are bitter. And they feel they have a right to be bitter, and you do. But by God's grace, you give that up. Because otherwise, God will not bless you. He will not bless you. It's an impossibility. It goes against his character. I tell you, Christians ought to be what? We ought to be living in a state of forgiveness. Peter said, Lord, how many times? And the Lord said, as many times as you got to. That's Tony's translation. How many people in this room are in a rut? And they're acting like the world because they do not act like God who has forgiven us, even when the Bible says we were enemies of God. God can't bless. Repent. Repent. And ask God to take that bitterness out of your heart. Leave it with the Lord. If there's any vengeance to be had, leave it with God. God said, vengeance is up to me. Don't you become vengeful. And how many people in this room here today know exactly what I'm talking about? Let's pray. Precious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Father, for this day. And I thank you for these folks that have come here this morning, Lord. I ask you to bless them. Father, speak to their hearts just like you've spoken to mine. Father, if there's anyone here that's, Father, maybe not saved and they're not sure and they wonder where they're at, and Lord, would you speak to their hearts today that they might make peace with God before the vengeance comes? Father, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ could come at any time. He'll come and he'll take his church out of here, and then vengeance is going to come on this world. Father, I pray there would be no one here left behind. And I pray, Father, that today, Father, when we talked about some of these characteristics of the world, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, ungodly, undiscerning, unthankful, Lord, that we would have a change in attitude. Oh, God, help us in this, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.